Broadcasting live from the Chicago Board of Trade. This is the home for every Bears game. ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko. WMVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Till the 8. Swinging a fly ball out in the left center, and it's deep. Way back there. It is gone! Chase Mindrum just hit a grand slam. Oh, baby. 13-1.
15-2. Excuse me. 15-2, the final. Glenn Casper right here in your home for the White Sox. Day baseball today. 1:10 is the first pitch. 12:30 pregame with Meller live on the south side. You'll get extended Carmen and Yurko today. We'll go all the way till 12:30, so another 90 minutes for us. Cubs will wrap the series in Pittsburgh tonight against the Buccos. They got to face Skeens. They snapped their losing streak yesterday. Let's talk about all of it with Jesse Rogers. Oh, do we not have Jesse's theme music?
Come on, hit the button.
Hold on. Aiden's looking for it.
My God, this doesn't happen on Cap Show.
Oh, you know what? If you're not careful,
Jesse Rogers. There we go, Jess, just for you.
National MLB reporter for ESPN and ESPN Chicago.
Jesse Rogers.
Giving you updates on the White Sox, Cubs, and the latest Major League Baseball storylines. Jesse Rogers. From free agency to owners meetings to spring training to opening day. Jesse Rogers covers it all season. It's Jesse Rogers. Jesse Rogers with Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
This is brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. And he's on the Yingling guest hotline. What's up, buddy?
Well, I was supposed to cover the White Sox Twins game today, but labor has now taken over my life. As you guys know, the union made its proposal yesterday. Yeah. I heard you guys talking earlier today. The league right now, as we speak, is proposing a salary cap to the union. Uh-huh. It's going to be very complicated and complex process here, but they're going to talk about three things today: a salary cap and floor, how to split the revenues. You know, as you, in the NBA and NFL, once the revenues come in the cap system, it's basically going to be a 50-50 split. I could be off by a percentage point. But, you know, giving 50% of the revenues to the players, which will set the cap every year. So when the revenues go up, the salary cap goes up. So that's the second thing they're going to talk about today. And then centralized media, putting all local media dollars into one pool and then distributing it. There's a lot more that's going to happen over the course of this thing. But that's it. Today starts the war, so to speak, because they're going to propose that salary cap and floor. And I know you guys have a lot of questions. I don't think I have all the answers right now, but I might later in the day.
Or just as this process goes on, like what happens to RSNs are, if they're hanging on by a thread now, that's the death of RSNs, is it not? If they pool all the money locally?
Well, it's not the death of them. It's just that the Dodgers aren't going to be able to keep all of their money. That's the good news for the lower market teams. All that local money is going into one pool. And it's going to be distributed. Doesn't mean you can't watch your team
like
on
the Dodger. Yeah. Oh, so the Dodger network. I thought you meant more like they would take it and they would create the like a streaming service would buy it, and that's how you would watch your team locally.
No, I'm just talking about revenues. Revenues would go into a centralized fund, and it would be distributed equally among the teams. So nobody has an advantage because they're in a bigger market. They make more money from TV revenues, which the Dodgers are doing right now. So
I thought eventually they wanted it where like a Netflix or a YouTube TV would buy it, and there would be no Dodger TV. There would be no Marquee Network. There would be none of that. Is that, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm just talking about revenues. I know that's what they want, centralized media revenues to be distributed. But the big news will be the cap and floor. I don't know what that number is, but you can 125, 150, somewhere there for the floor, 275, 280 for the ceiling, something like that. I will know in a couple hours what the exact number is.
Okay.
And, I think the league once the union, if ever, agrees to a cap, the league will talk about anything. I heard you talk about the Larry Bird rule, for example.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They're not proposing that today. Like, you can keep a star. But if the union says, okay, let's talk about this cap thing, How can we keep Skeens in Pittsburgh? The league will be open to anything once the union says we're up for a cap. So we'll see, and they could phase it in. You know, the league is going to propose, I think, today, 2027, your payroll needs to be between 130 and 275 or whatever the numbers are. And if the union says, no, you can't do that in 27, they'll talk about it, phasing it in. They'll talk about anything as long as the union agrees to a cap, which the union won't. So, again, the fight starts today.
Well, they won't. Will they ever, I guess? I know they won't right now. Are they going to?
Don't know the answer to that question. Yeah. I don't know if the owners will give up on the cap or the players will give into a cap. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows right now. In the past, the owners gave up on it, just like they did in the 94 strike. Like the owners, you know, said, okay, fine, we won't do the cap, we'll do this other CBT system. And, you know, there's been mixed reviews on that. So fast forward to March, Carmen, and I'll tell you who's gonna cave first.
Yeah. What would a Murakami extension look like right now?
Well, first of all, this is how it probably will go down, and then I'll get to that. Nothing's going to happen now. What is interesting about the lockout coming on December 1st is there still will be a GM meetings in November. That's when, if it's going to happen, it would happen, in my opinion. I don't have that locked down, but if they're going to extend him, it would be before the lockout. It would be in November before his final year starts up. And it would probably have to be 5 to 8 years, as you guys have been talking about, between 150 and 200. I mean, if he keeps up this pace.
At least.
That's
right?
I mean, if he had 60 home runs, I don't know what the number is. Like, you know, if he just has a normal great year and you want to lock him up, it's probably 5 to 8 years in that 150 to 200 range, becoming one of the best, you know, paid sluggers in the game with very, you know, sort of little experience. So you guys are on the right track. I mean, you know, Schwarber and those guys got 5 and 150 at a much older age.
Right, much older.
But with a better track record.
That's
too,
right.
A longer track record. Yeah. So let's see how this season ends up, and then we'll know. But most likely it would be conversations in November, and there's going to be certainly a lot of pressure on the White Sox to at least make a big offer, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, last night was great, obviously. I mean, the Sandlin performance was – he's such a great story. I mean, I was telling Yurik that, you know, nobody wanted him out of high school. He's the one, like, just trying to sell himself to junior colleges, finally gets picked up by one, finally draws the attention of Oklahoma. He's on that team that makes the run with Cade Horton. He's been in three different organizations. Who knows what his career really holds here, Jess, but it was awesome last night to see. It was a great story. I don't even know, like for the rest of the year, what is his role? Like, when Schultz comes back, is there still a role for him? Do they find one for him? I mean, what do you envision, and what do you think their plan is for Sandlin right now?
Yeah, no, look, after that start, you send him right back out there. You worry about the Noah Schultz question when you get to it. There's always a reason, or somebody goes down. You know, there's, if he's pitching well, you keep pitching him. That's my opinion. That's what the track record is for anybody that comes up here and throws well. And it's not like Schultz is back tomorrow, right? We've got a couple weeks to decide that question. It's a great storyline, as you mentioned, Yurko. You know who Gage Zeal is? Gage Zeal.
He's not my plumber.
Sounds like a plumber, doesn't he? He's the guy they traded to Boston for David Sandlin, and he's got a 5.94 ERA in Double-A. I mean, is Chris Getz on the way to GM of the Year? Is he going to upend Matt Arnold in Milwaukee as the GM of the Year? Murakami signing him alone, even though, as we've talked about, he was kind of directed there. Whatever, it doesn't matter if it fell in his lap or not. He gets the credit for it. I mean, David Sandlin, I mean, that mix last night was great. Fastball, curveball, cutter, change, sinker, just a beautiful mix. And here's the thing about these guys that come up. They do not look overwhelmed. I mean, it's a second pitch home run, and he locks it down after that. Other guys would crumble. I mean, Antonacci comes up. Every guy that comes up here, Yoshida, they do not look overwhelmed, overmatched. The moment's not too big for them. Great job by the White Sox player development system that has these guys ready. And then Will Venable having the first day conversations with them. It must be working. I can't say enough about how this is working out right now. In fact, Jack, do we have Derek Shelton ready? Listen to Derek Shelton. I asked him about the White Sox. And remember, this is Derek Shelton, who got fired from Pittsburgh, who never saw their plan through. You can almost hear him talking about Pittsburgh as he talks about the White Sox.
Toughest thing is sticking to the plan, because there's going to be times where it's not going well. Yeah. And there's going to be times when, I mean, just very candidly, you're getting your ass handed to you. And to be able to stick with the plan, I give, and I appreciate you saying this yesterday, I give tremendous credit to Chris and Josh Barfield and to Will. And having sat in Will's chair, man, it's hard some nights when you're sitting there watching it and you're like, okay, I know this is going to make us better, but still, there's things that maybe he wants to do differently, and I give him credit. And then they went out this offseason and added to this club. I mean, the K-Kid yesterday, signing him to a two-year deal. Good job. Signing the first baseman. Yeah. That's a good job. Montgomery's going to be a really good player for a long time. But you have to stick to that process, and I give their front office a ton of credit.
I wish they wouldn't have done it. But I give them and I give Will a ton of credit to sticking with that process, and I think you're seeing the results on the field of a much better baseball team.
Now, what's interesting is, look, Jerry's not going to fast forward the process and spend money anyway, so this is the only way to do it. But you talk to executives who have done rebuilds, including Theo, you can't skip a step. You yeah. can't skip any steps. You can't fast forward it as much as we like to. Once you start down that path of stripping it down and bringing in youth, you've got to go step by step. There's going to be growing pains along the way. You might set the single season record for losses, but hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't know. Don't you agree? Like yeah. you could just hear Shelton thinking about yes. his Pirates experience, and they didn't really follow the like when Skeens was like that. The door should have opened then. For some reason, they waited a few years, and now the door is a little bit open with the Pirates, but we'll see what happens. But you could just – I could just tell. I know Shelton very well, and he was talking about the Pirates when he was talking about not following the plan completely.
All right, speaking of Skeens and the Pirates, Cubs have to face Skeens tonight, but they finally kind of woke out of the slumber. I mean, they had what? It was 7 runs in their last 11 games going into last
night.
Bad. They were hitting .124 with runners in scoring position in their previous 16 before last night, and then they bust out 14 hits, 10 runs, 5-for-16 with runners in scoring position. Now can they just, like, sustain it, Jess? Can they've been a team of runs. Can they go on another one, I guess?
Yeah, 5-for-16 runners in scoring position last night. That hopefully breaks the dam if you're a Cub fan. I'm really interested in this game today because many times when you're on a bad streak or a good streak and you break it, usually it does go the other way a little bit. You know, the air comes out of the balloon a little bit. You relax, especially after the losing skid. But even after a winning streak, you lose that first. You tend to lose a couple, 3 in a row. Same thing here. I don't have the facts in front of me, but you should relax. And they have had some success against Skeens, who has struggled a little bit lately. He's given up 3 earned in his last 2 starts. First time he's done that in back-to-back starts. Career .294 ERA in 7 games against the Cubs. Still good, but not Skeens good. They've hit, I think, the most home runs off him of any team. Yeah. Obviously, he's faced them a bunch, but I think they have 5 home runs off him. 4 different Cubs in the lineup today, I think, have home runs off him. So there is an opening there. Following up last night, what are you doing at the plate today? Are you relaxed? Will it go in your direction after going against you? Like, all these things are fun to watch tonight. I do think they're going to settle in and get back to being, you know, a good Cub team. But yeah, these streaks are weird. They are susceptible to some offensive slumps the way they're built, as I've talked about in the past. But this was extreme. This was really extreme. So I would assume after extreme one way and extreme the other way that they kind of settle in. That's usually what happens. But Carmen, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not sure. I mean, the one thing I've learned in a negative way is when you are lengthy without a ton of power, it does take 6 or 7 guys going well at once to really create a lot of offense, which they did that first month. But can 6 or 7 guys stay hot for longer periods of time in this league, in this day and age? Maybe not. Maybe not. So, you know, that whole idea that they're smaller without big power hitters might come back to bite them, even though I do like the depth on the team.
Is Council doing enough? And I'll only frame that this way. A manager can really only do so much in terms of day-to-day lineup stuff and in-game. We know how much of that is done with analytics. It's really all the other like little buttons that they seemingly have to push. The good ones find a way to do that successfully. As Sylvia was making the point, and he has made the point, the Cubs told you Council was that guy. When they fired David Ross and they gave him $8 million a year, And they said, look what he's done in Milwaukee. He's going to get everything out of these teams and these clubhouses. They told you that. Don't be mad when fans ask for it. The Cubs told you that's where he excels. Is he doing enough?
Well, let me say this, and if Pat Murphy or Craig Counsell want to come at me, that's fine. I do think the successes they had up in Milwaukee were more front office related than the managers.
I tend to agree with you, Jess.
That includes, I mean, look, Stephen Vaught is having this incredible start to his career as a manager. Kevin Cash, it might win. I mean, come on. It's what these front offices and the systems and the processes they put in place that are making their managers successful. Not that the managers don't have to push buttons when things aren't going well. And that's the key thing here. And that's why it's so hard for me or anybody to judge Counsell, because when your team is slumping offensively, whatever he does in game has nothing to do with the outcome. What he does behind the scenes, I keep saying this, between 3 and 7 p.m. When a manager makes his salary before a night game, or 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. before a day game. How are the conversations with Ian Happ when you're slumping, with Dansby Swanson, with young players, Moises Ballesteros? I'm not in that room every day. I can ask the players after the fact. Maybe they'll be honest. Maybe they won't. That's why we judge managers on results. They get judged on results. Don't tell me how you're making the sausage at $8 million a year. Just show me if you're getting results. If you get results, you stay. If you don't, like Rob Thompson, he had results, then he didn't. Yeah. You get fired. So it's those buttons that we don't see. We don't hear those conversations. And even when they're described to us, we don't know the tone. We don't know the vibe. But is he relaxing the clubhouse? Is he getting on guys? You know, is he kicking him in the butt a little bit? Like, those are the things, those are the nuances that we can't see from 7 to 10 p.m. at night when the games are being played. So it's the hardest thing to sort of judge when a team is slumping at the plate. What's the manager doing? Because he can't just say, go get a hit. You know, and some fans think that. Yeah. Why doesn't he tell it, go get it? You can't do that. It doesn't work that way.
I think they know they have to go get a hit. Yeah, I'm sure he's
right?
I mean, usually. All right, what else? Anything we're forgetting?
No. That's it.
All right. It's a good update. We got,
but I will have more.
It's meaningful.
We got some labor. We got some Mooney. We got the Sox. There. We got the Cubs.
Like,
we, got
like, no.
we got it all.
I'm overloaded.
I unloaded everything I got.
That was good.
I unloaded
stuff,
everything.
Jess. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Follow me later today. I'm going to write this story for ESPN.com, and I will certainly tweet out all the particulars of the first proposal here by the league, which is going to include potentially a first ever salary cap in baseball.
All right. And very good story yesterday about the anniversary of the Javi.
Oh, yeah.
The play in Pittsburgh, right? That was why you did it, because it was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And no, it was just that it was a 5-year anniversary. That was the key. Yesterday was the 5-year anniversary.
But it was against the Pirates, wasn't it?
It was against the Pirates. So coincidentally, they're in Pittsburgh again. And it was great to talk to everybody except for the first baseman. He declined an interview.
I heard you.
The guy that made the big blunder. He declined an interview, which, you know, some people think it was the end of his career. He did get released 5 days later.
Oof, so, it's rough. Good story.
I guess may have been.
Good stuff, Jess. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. You guys are the best. Yurko, take care, buddy.
See you, Jess.
All right, Reggie.
That's Jesse Rogers on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. He's brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Carmen and Yurko all the way till 12:30 today. Then it's White Sox baseball. 1:10 first pitch on the south side. They go for a series win against the Twins. White Sox back above 500. After a 15-2 win last night. Cubs wrap in Pittsburgh later this evening. They face Skeens. We were just talking to Jesse. He's going to have more on the latest round of labor negotiations as the union made its proposal. The league countering back today, talking about the implementation of a salary cap. We'll see what the initial response and reaction from the league, from the players is. I think we all kind of have an idea. So Carmen and York now, and then White Sox baseball a little bit later this afternoon. Waddle and Sylvie will start their show at 2 on their YouTube channel, on the station's YouTube channel. And then they'll be on the air when the White Sox are over. Again, now 1:10 first pitch today with Davis Martin on the bump. He has been spectacular. We were talking about the WAR leaderboard earlier. When you look at the full leaderboard, not just the position players, Yerk, the pitchers too, Davis Martin cracks the top 10 in all of baseball. In
WAR all so baseball. Far this
year. Like at 2.9. How about that?
All positions.
Pretty great. Oh, well, yeah, all players. Yeah. Position players and pitchers. Danny's in Bourbonnais. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, guys. After hearing what Jesse was saying, do you guys think now, as opposed to 1994, owners would be way more apt to taking a salary cap with teams like the Dodgers just owning the sport? Like, would be the one way to kind of checkmate their ownership group from the other teams? Or do you think that the other owners are kind of okay with saying, hey, we're doing our best, but we're not the Dodgers?
No, they want it. They like that. They're proposing it for a reason, Danny. They don't want the Dodgers to exist the way they exist. The other owners simply do not, and they don't want Steve. And a few owners have a lot of power and influence and a big voice and big pocketbooks, but they're the minority. The Steve Cohens and the who's the group? Is it the Guggenheim Group? Is that who Guggenheim?
Guggenheim,
right?
It's a museum, right?
It is a museum in New York. Yes.
Yeah. But isn't that the group that owns
it? It is a family. Yes, the Guggenheims, famous family in New York.
They don't want them to exist in this current iteration, right? They don't want that. They don't want Steve Cohen giving Juan Soto $700 million.
I mean, if you
they don't want Kyle Tucker getting $400 million from the Dodgers.
If you take a look at it, Carm, you've got three teams that not three, you got more than that. You got six teams that are spending more than $267 million in total payroll. $267 million. And 24, is it 24 votes to enact it from 24 owners?
I think so.
So six. So theoretically, if you've got that many that are up top.
You need two-thirds. You need two-thirds.
It's 24. No, it's not two-thirds. It's 24, I think, is the votes to implement something in Major League Baseball.
That's more
if
than.
Jesse's than listening, he might go ahead
that's 75%,
and chime in.
Yeah.
Hold on. There's somebody else down here.
Almost 75%.
I don't know why this isn't in Houston's up there too. So there's seven teams that are spending $240 million or more dollars. Seven teams. Those seven teams might say no. Hmm. And then so the owners are going to have to get their thing together.
Right.
You know, oh, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. Hard for me to believe that the Dodgers are going to be willing just to throw everything into the pot for the betterment of baseball.
Yeah, like what are the Dodgers saying when the other owners are,
you know, so we'll see.
With this plan? Yeah.
They're coming up with a great plan that's got them scratching their heads.
They're like, wait a minute, we do everything well. We develop our players, we make shrewd trades, we know how to find talent, we know how to make the most of maybe somebody else's cast off. We sign Shohei. We signed Roki, we signed Yamamoto, we signed Tucker. He hasn't been very good for them. Like, they do everything well, Yerk. Everything.
Yep.
Analytics, money, the TV deal. And that's why their record is their record the last decade. And they've had all the success they've had. Are they going to be so willing? And is Steve Cohen, even though that money's not money well spent right now because they haven't won?
The YES Network, the Yankees. Top three, Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, Toronto, Philly, Atlanta, Houston.
Did you see? I know you didn't.
And then you got Chicago as a distant eighth at $219 million.
There was a thing going around yesterday. I got sent this by a couple of big baseball fan friends of mine.
You know, the problem is if you get a salary cap, your salary floor, they want it to be 50% of what the cap is.
No, it's got to be more than that. That's ridiculous. I'm with you.
Don't work. 280, 140 doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't make a difference. You know, at that point, you've got how many clubs operating above 140 right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 clubs operating above that 140 already, plus the other seven that are already. That's 28. That's 18 clubs of the 30 that are operating above $140 million already. So your drags on society. Cleveland is a first place team.
Yes.
Playoff team. The White Sox, 28th team, playoff team, $80 million and $90 million respectively. Miami stinks. Washington is not that great.
Washington's a game above 500.
Oh, are they?
Surprisingly.
Well, in the National League, that doesn't mean a thing. In the American League, it'd be something special.
Yeah, that's true. But
The Athletics, 94. St. Louis is at 94, and they're in a positive win situation. Tampa, 103. Tampa always finds a way to do it for
always.
Some crazy reason. Pittsburgh, who the Cubs play today, are at 104. Minnesota, 105. But they also receive money from all the other clubs
yes.
already, right?
Yes, yes.
That are in the tax.
Yes.
They get the money and they don't spend it on baseball. They put it yeah. in their pockets and they go enjoy themselves, well, maybe get some steak tartare.
Maybe.
Maybe all the good stuff. Yes.
Tampa continues to be a real marvel, too. I mean, Milwaukee obviously yeah. is. There was a thing going around yesterday about Tampa. Like I said, a few buddies sent it, big baseball fans. Like, Tampa, once again, is you know what they're good at, Yerk? They're what you always said about, like, once everybody's in on analytics,
right?
You've lost your edge.
Right, the edge is gone. What makes you different?
What Tampa's good at is they keep finding ways to do what you've always said. You have to find something different.
You have to identify the analytics that really matter.
Or just flip it on its head. And, like, while everybody has gone to looking for a specific profile for their hitters because of the analytic movement and launch angle and things like that, Tampa has now gone back the other way. And now it's guys who can run and guys who can bunt and guys who can make contact. And the whole point of the thing that was going around from this podcast is that if you look at their metrics and you look at a lot of the StatCast metrics, they're like bottom of the league everywhere in barrels, hard hit percentage, right? Home runs, launch angle, all that. But they're a top 10 offense and they've got the best record in the American League. Like, how do they keep doing this? Because they're always finding, like, the market inefficiencies, and they're always finding, like, new players that maybe can fit something different that they want to try, and then it works. They're like the Brewers in the way they get the most out of their pitching most of the time. I don't know what the secret sauce is for these teams that do it with this pitching. I have no idea. I'm not smart enough to. I won't even pretend to know. I just know it when I see it because I see Kyle Harrison dominating. Maybe it's easy to see the Miz dominate because of his stuff, but, like, how is it that the Brewers can say goodbye to Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta, Josh Hader, who am I forgetting? Brandon Woodruff is always hurt. I'm forgetting somebody else.
Burns.
I said Burns. Corbin I feel Burns. Like there's another person I wanted to identify. The closer that they traded to
Devin
Williams.
Josh Hader as well.
I said Hader.
Yeah.
Okay. Devin Williams. How is it that it's like, don't need him, don't need him, don't need him, don't need him, and everybody they bring in is better?
Or as good.
Yeah. If not better. Like, what the holy hell are they doing? It's something better than everybody else. And, like, in Tampa's always been good at that. Cleveland has always been good at that. Milwaukee under Stearns and now Matt Arnold has been very, very good at that. The Dodgers sort of have the best of both worlds. They can be good at that, and they've got the smartest guy in the room in Friedman. Oh, and they have the most money. And so they're an animal that's, you know, out of control, obviously. But, yeah, like, what with the teams like that? And maybe the Sox are finally. I've always said, if you're not going to spend, and it pisses me off when you're in Chicago and you don't spend. If you're not going to spend, what have I always said? Be great in the margins then. Be great in your player development. Be great in who you're hiring and what you're spending on analytics. You have to spend it somewhere. And if you don't want to spend it on players and you want to pocket more of the money, you better spend some of it being better than everybody else in the margins. Maybe the Sox are finally going to start doing that. I don't know. We'll see. But they've done some really good stuff. And all of a sudden, they're developing players. Something historically they have sucked at, other than some pitching. They've been good with some pitching. Position player development for the Chicago White Sox for the better part of 25 years has been a joke. And I don't want to hear about Jose Abreu. They didn't do a damn thing to... That was already a polished gem. That was a grown-ass man.
They brought him in from Cuba.
That was a polished gem of a player.
He's probably 37 when they brought him over.
I don't want to hear anything about Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
They had a little bit with Tim Anderson. It was brief. It was fleeting. They have stunk. Flat out stunk. at player development for the better, especially with their position players, for the better part of 25 years. Maybe they're finally starting to get better because they're doing things in a different way and they're looking at things through a different lens. It's Carmen and Yurick. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now. Live on the ESPN Chicago app. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Ben Johnson's going to be meeting the media here. OTAs continue across the NFL. Bears have them going on up at Halas, so we'll carry that live when it happens. Sunday, the spring session ends in Springfield on Sunday. I suppose, like, over the summer, they could always call. Can you convene, like, a special session? I think they – no, you're a little skeptical, Yurk? Probably not. I
mean, there's a reason they put May 31st as the deadline for getting things done.
Yeah. Guys.
Yeah.
So do we think in the next, like, couple of days?
You're looking at the fall session next? They come home, right, Carm? You're talking about shoveling the ground this year, right?
Oh, come on.
No, that's what we were talking about, though. Shovels in the ground, right?
Do you remember, like, last year people were saying, no, you guys are being too pessimistic. There'll be shovels in the ground in 2025. There might not be one in 2026.
Well, I mean, it won't be in the state of Illinois.
Well, you don't know that yet. Like, they could, 11th hour kind of stuff could happen over the weekend.
Have you seen this, Bill?
It's... I don't know how they have...
Have you seen this, Bill?
I have. And then I saw the study that the county...
Yeah, that Maria Pappas and her people put together?
Yes, they put together.
And I'm telling you, I got a real estate agent for you. I'm serious. If that thing passes, it's a quick move, man. It can happen in 2 months. They got some real good high schools down there.
I hate living in Cook County.
Adrian, Lake Central, Crown Point. You got some solid high schools down there, sending a lot of kids to a lot of great schools around the country.
Am I going to get it even
got
more?
Harvard,
am I about to get whacked even more here, Yurk?
Carmen, all I'm saying is that we send people to the Ivy Leagues. We do it every year. Okay? It's not a shock. If you want to fix cars, we can do that too, Carm. We got a hell of a program down there. You want to weld? You want to be a tradesman? We've got it all, Carm.
I'm starting to hope it just does go to Indiana so it doesn't affect me. I don't want to move to Indiana. I want no offense. I'd rather have the Bears move than me. That's what I'd rather have.
Okay.
The better deal is Northwest Indiana. Take it. Easy for me to say.
You should see what you paid for your crib. You should see what you get down by me.
I understand. I'm aware.
You could only imagine, dude. Pools, llamas, unicorns. You get all types of stuff.
Why haven't the Bears presented this traffic study? Do we have a good answer on that? Somebody said, well, they did originally, and it's expensive.
Here's what it is. It needs to be a current. It would always need to be something that's current. If you did it 2 years ago, it is now out of date.
So why haven't they done another one?
Because they've got
expensive.
They want to take the cert. Are we absolutely coming? We'll do it. Here it is. You do it, and then nothing happens for a year and a half. Now you got to do another one again.
We're going to come in on Monday. We're going to start the lists. 100 days starts Monday,
to the NFL season. 100 days to the NFL season. All the lists have been compiled. Hopefully a little bit better than the questions
I hope so, too, John.
In the Blackhawk trivia contest that we had a little earlier today.
And the spring legislature will be closed for the summer in Springfield.
On Sunday.
When we come in on Monday, will Illinois pass the bill? It kind of feels like no. Do you agree at this point?
It does feel that way.
Kind of feels like no.
Does feel like no.
That doesn't mean it can't change between now and midnight on Sunday?
I mean, we've seen that, 4 a.m.
Oh, sure.
4 a.m. deals being cut somewhere.
Do you want me to break now, Aiden? For real? I thought we said we're staying. We breaking or staying?
We breaking or staying. Or staying and breaking.
Let's take a break.
Are you sure?
We're in the middle of our passionate pleas.
We're vamping.
You don't understand what vamping's all about?
We're vamping here.
I don't know what vamping is. I've never heard that
word before. It's right here. Extend. extend. That's the signal.
Welcome to Coffee Talk.
We need more to.
With Carmen and Yurko, we're talking about the Bears Stadium.
Talks amongst yourselves. I'm verklempt.
Normally, we'd be talking about the Jets and the Giants with these accents.
We'd be talking about how handsome, how great Liza Minnelli is.
Who doesn't love Liza Minnelli?
Liza's
welcome to
such
Coffee
a
Talk.
Sweetie. Oh, Liza.
All right, so we're breaking, and then Ben Johnson's going to meet the media. We'll carry it live. Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
can we come back and vamp more about the stadium?
Oh, yes. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do.
I thought we were partners with the Bears. What the hell's going on?
I mean, Cap was insistent earlier this week. There's no way they're moving to Northwest Indiana. Yurko and I don't believe it's their preference.
No.
We believe it's still like 80-20 Illinois, but I wouldn't say there's no way.
85% Arlingtonites, 15%.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say there's no way. I'd say it's a small percentage.
And not much unlike people are like basically calling the Bears bluff. We dare you to go to Hammond, Indiana. That's in essence what's happening right now.
Maybe they should just go.
Go ahead and go.
Maybe they should go.
Because you know why? We don't think you want to go.
I don't want to pay any more taxes, so let them go.
Don't mind in Northwest Indiana, Carm.
I don't want to pay any more.
We'll put the price of gas even. That means they'd have to charge us $1.30 more per gallon.
I don't want to.
And then it would be even with Illinois.
They've broken me. I'm tapped out on taxes. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Charles, that's a big story.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Follow the show on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
At some point, the stadium talk will come to an end just because we will know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Next week, I feel like it'll be a little bit of a talking point
have
early.
An idea.
Because we'll see what happens in Springfield this weekend.
The whole premise and the whole approach to Indiana, when the Bears approached the mayor of Hammond, talked about the site that they have there, which was the only site that was ever considered by the state assembly down in Indianapolis. It was the only site ever considered, the only one ever talked about, the only one that was ever going to be approved for any financing, which they did. They got through both houses. The governor signed off on it. The whole premise of this was... the Bears had to make a decision. They had this session to do it. May 31st was the deadline. If they didn't meet the deadline by May 31st, the Bears are going to move to Indiana. That's it.
So let's see if they have the balls for it. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
let's see if you actually have the balls for it.
That's what it comes down to. I think over the course of time, some of the legislature and some of the representatives in the state of Illinois have kind of read the room and taken the temperature of what the Bears' wants were. And have felt that they're not necessarily committed to going over the border. And because of that,
yes,
they haven't felt the pressure to do anything about it.
That's right.
So I think that's the best scenario that I could paint on exactly what's happening.
So if that's the case,
and that's why the guy that's going to Rome here.
Yeah, he went.
Brandon Johnson. That's why he doesn't feel a sense of tremendous urgency. That's why the representatives here, Cam Buckner and others in the state of Chicago that would like to still think about Chicago's interest in having the Bears on the lakefront, where they're going to be this year, though. They're still going to be there this year. They're not going anywhere, right? They're playing at Soldier Field, right?
Yes, they are.
For the foreseeable future.
Yes, they are.
They've got a lease until 2033.
Yeah.
So right now, the way it seems that the Bears will be here until 2033 while they try to figure out a place where they're going to go. And if they don't move to Indiana on June 1, June 2nd, Indiana now gets the feeling, okay, we went, we got it done for you, we put it in place for you, you're not going to come over now?
What would they do?
Pull the rug out from under them and say, fine, you don't want to come? They'll go back, they'll take the legislation.
Is that right?
Wipe it right off the blocks.
Does that happen?
Why wouldn't it happen? If they're not coming over, what are we doing?
I was going to ask you, when do you think like the Bears do feel that they either have to crap or get off the pot?
May 31st. Because the feet get put to the fire on the Indiana side and saying, what the hell are we doing here,
people? Do you think they'll really say that come next week?
Absolutely. Not here to get played. We were over here as a part of a process.
To be a partner with you.
To get you here to the state of Indiana. Our system is in place. We are ready to rock and roll, and we are ready to go.
Like, do you think George
is the cheap shots you take for the amateur politicians here in this state about where it's being built, what it's being built on, all that type of stuff? Garbage. Nobody cares about it. The focus is simply on, will the Bears make the commitment to come to Northwest Indiana? All the rhetoric is crap.
Do you think George is sitting here today on May 28th, going, how could this be that we're going to go to Sunday and we still don't have, like, when he started this whole thing back in November, December,
yeah,
when they floated the idea and then everything quickly got passed through, if in his mind it was like, well, this is only a leverage play and that's it. Do you think he's like freaking out right now?
I
can't believe they didn't really fall for it. They're not taking our, you know, they're not falling for the bluff. They're calling the bluff, so to speak, in the state of Illinois. Now what am I going to do?
The only way that play was ever going to be worthwhile is if there was a legitimate shot of you going to Indiana. So that's the only way the play was ever going to be worthwhile.
So George had to be willing.
He had to be willing to go across state lines. And if he's never been willing to go across state lines or in the back, it was always just, hey, this is just a threat we're going to have.
Yeah. You might have gotten played.
You got your bluff called.
You got your bluff
called. They looked you in the eye and they don't think you had, like I said earlier.
Right.
I said, I don't think the politicians believe he's got the temerity to move the Bears out of Chicago.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. They looked at it right away. They're at the poker table. He's got 7-2 off suit in his hand, and he's presenting like he's got pocket aces.
Right. And they called his
bluff. Yeah.
I also don't think it's as big of a deal as, like, some make it out to be. I mean, again, Cap's been so insistent. There's no way they're ever moving. It'd be preposterous for the Chicago Bears to play in Indiana. I don't know. I still don't like. It's the Chicagoland area. It's the Chicago media market. It's closer to Soldier Field than the new place would be.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets and Giants don't play in the state of New York.
We've covered it.
Is it the craziest thing ever? I mean,
we've covered it all.
Not really.
Lake Forest is how far from the Wisconsin state line?
Probably 15 miles.
You know what would be crazy? What would be crazy if the Bears ever considered moving across the state line into Wisconsin, into Kenosha area? Right across the state line, a lot of fans up there. Everybody's been to Great America. Yeah. 5 more miles, you're in Kenosha.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy for the Bears to move into the state of Wisconsin. That's lunacy. That's crazy. It's not crazy if you're going to move into Hammond, Indiana, which borders the city of Chicago.
Well, right. It's right there. Like, you're looking at the skyline still, you know, from 100%. The stadium. And
from about 101st all the way down to 130th.
It's like, it is. Honestly, it's not the craziest ever.
When I told you Wisconsin would be crazy, I don't think Indiana's crazy.
No.
I just think, like everything, you become accustomed to. Night baseball at Wrigley Field. Oh, we'll never do it. I'll never go. Guess what? All the people that said they wouldn't go are dead. Right? All the old timers. 1988, I'll never go. Guess what you are now? You're dead 40 years later. Nobody cares about your thoughts anymore.
They're going on 40 years of lights at Wrigley.
Yeah, because you're taking a dirt nap. Guy 55 years old, I'll never go to Wrigley. Yeah. 10 years later, they're probably burying him at some cemetery. Nobody cared.
Yeah, my guess is you probably won't.
Okay.
You know?
So, I mean, that's just it. With all, I'll never go to Indiana. Okay, 10 years from now, you'll be dead. Nobody cares.
Well, come Monday, it'll be all right. We'll find out, I guess, Monday.
I don't know if it's going to be all right.
Well, who knows?
I said, I've made the case for Northwest Indiana. I have made that case repeatedly over and over.
You have.
And I still think it's 85% Arlington Heights, 15% Northwest Indiana.
Because I'm
a realist.
I agree, and I just don't know when.
I look the Bears in the eyes.
I just don't know when the state's going to.
You know what I'm saying? I looked them in the eyes, and I said, they're not really committed.
But then if Indiana backs out, they're kind of back to square one with the state, right?
That's
the state's kind of like,
back to square one. No. You're in a hole now. Oof. You've got to come out of the hole because you went and tried this whole ploy and it didn't work for you. Now you're not on level ground no more.
Right.
You are now underneath the ground. You have dug yourself a hole.
Guess who's got the upper hand now?
Well,
the state.
Of course it does. They don't have to do anything. They just sit there and make the Bears wait.
That's right. They really can. I mean, they really can. Sylvie wrote about it in his column that he writes every week.
What column? Who's he writing for?
Shaw Media.
Night Report Sports. I'm Mark Silverman.
It's definitely not
where
Night
Where the
Report.
Hell is Shaw Media?
Isn't
what
it Shaw Media,
what
right?
What the hell is that?
Shaw Local.
Shaw Local, yeah.
Andrew Shaw? He's got a newspaper?
Here, look, I'll read you the headline. Hold on.
Yeah, give me the paper. Let me look for this thing. Silverman writes.
Oh, wait, hold on. That's the wrong thing.
Is that a local rag?
Yeah. Silverman. Where's Mark?
Silverman writes.
Mark. Uh-oh, that's Ark Silverman. I need Mark.
No, they're giving me Silverman writes I got here. It's Sarah
Sylvie,
Silverman.
Bear Stadium saga has become a circus and nobody deserves trust. That was posted today. Yeah, and he writes it, you know, you can go to his Instagram and you can find it.
Oh, it's on his Instagram?
Yes.
Okay, I was on the computer looking for it.
Link is in bio. So...
Stephen A. Smith doesn't believe soccer is about to become the sport of the now in the United States.
I think he's right.
Yurko, what if you did a...
What would be the evidence? The last 70 years of not accepting the sport?
Basically.
Yurko, what if you did a dramatic reading of Sylvie's article?
I'd love it. Bring it in. I'm ready.
Print it up.
Oh, I'm ready. Bring it in. Right. Top of the hour.
He'll read it as Sylvie. It's going to be great.
I'm not responsible for the 12 o'clock hour anyway. Print it up and bring it here.
We're sticking around for an extra 30 minutes. We don't care what we do.
Right. We're going to be on the radio, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So we can't swear and
cuss. We can't swear, but we can do whatever we want.
It's not the other stuff like when we're just on the YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Bring it in. Print it up, Jack.
Print it up. I'll read it.
We'll read it coming up.
Like Sylvie.
Sylvie's going to love that. For Night Report Sports, I'm Mark Silverman. We are sticking an extra half hour. Mellor starts the pregame at 12:30. Beautiful day for a little day baseball on the South Side. Right here on your home for the White Sox. Game 4 against the Twins coming up at 1:10. Yurko and I will stay till 12:30. We're back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.